Similar to a well-tuned automobile, a guitar requires the same level of attention to perform at its very best. No matter how expensive your guitar may be, we will treat you and your instrument with the utmost respect. Call 920-723-1733 or visit jeffsguitar.com. Jeff's Guitar Clinic in Fort Atkinson, we love guitars.
I want to thank all the labor unions here in Dane County that help keep Sly'sOffice.com up and going so you keep up to date. Whether it be the Madison Firefighters, Local 311, or the Madison Teamsters, Local 695, or our friends at Madison Teachers Incorporated. These are some of the most active local unions who organize, and constantly stand up for workers. Thank you from Sly'sOffice.com.
Welcome to another podcast at Sly'sOffice.com, brought to you by the Operating Engineers, Local 139, and our friends at the law firm of Gingras, Thompson, and Wachs. Welcome. Dana Wachs sponsoring us, John Nichols, being
like
the good comrade that he is.
He is a good man.
And a good lawyer.
But yeah, he's a very good lawyer.
Yeah. All right. So I want to ask you, when you hear Shepard Smith say this on the Fox News Channel.
We make today deal.
No, that's not it.
The president asked Ukraine and China to investigate his political rival on television for all the world to hear. Fox News knows of no federal investigation of his rival for any violations of any American law. If it is determined that the president made that request to help his campaign for re-election, President Trump may have violated federal law. It is illegal to ask a foreign national or foreign country for any political assistance. To our knowledge, no president before President Trump in American history has publicly asked an adversary to investigate a rival. For days, the president and his allies have been suggesting that the whistleblower or their sources got something wrong, that the president didn't really ask Ukraine to investigate his political rival, that the complaint is total fiction. Today, the president did exactly what he's accused of doing, this time on live television, and this time he asked the totalitarian government of China to investigate as well, ahead of trade talks scheduled for next week.
That was Fox News.
That was Fox News journalist Shep Smith. Now, let me just give you a little context. You know, when it comes to these cable channels and how they're located on cable systems and dish systems throughout America, Fox is on a lot more cable and dish systems. They've got better channel locations, and they're watched by a lot of people. And they're not, and while they certainly lean right, and I wouldn't call them liberals, not everybody that watches Fox is a Hannity ideologue. This has to have some impact.
Oh, I think a huge impact. Look, this is one of the interesting things about the moment that we are in. I have, as you know, I've written a lot about impeachment over the years, and spent a lot of time thinking about it. I think impeachment should be understood as the equivalent of an election, right? It's obviously, it can undo the result of an election. It's a very powerful tool. But when it comes up, people actually start to focus in a way that they don't always focus in on the day-to-day of politics or the day-to-day of governing, right? It takes things to a higher level. And once that discussion has been begun, you really, you know, start to get a measure of people and of even news networks. And so I think that Fox right now is facing a very challenging moment, right? Fox has walked a line between, you know, its evening hosts who are ideologues, you know, and they've done very well with that, and their news folks, who some of them are very, very serious and very good at what they do, and so that is going to create a cleavage, right? That's going to create a challenge, but that's not just on Fox. I would argue that goes kind of across society, and it is in an impeachment moment, which we're definitely in, where you start to get the real measure of folks, you know, where their values really lie.
All right. So
Donnie
Deutsch this morning on MSNBC, the advertising executive, explained where he's coming from, why Trump doubled down yesterday so publicly.
Method of a madman, and there is a method to the madness. He's got, I've mentioned this, what I call the cap strategy whenever he's in trouble. First, confuse. You send out Rudy Giuliani to just talk about the universe and Hillary Clinton and emails and everything else like that and babble. And then what you do is you admit. You said, well, of course I did this. And by the way, I would do it again. And yes, I took cookies from the cookie jar. And if I take four more cookies, I desensitize people and it doesn't mean anything. Oh, I guess it's not that bad. He's talking about it. And then finally, you point. You point at the other guy. In this case, obviously, it's continually Biden, now even Warren. So, he is a madman, but there is a method to this. And you have to almost think the way you take it. And when he gets up there and says, well, I'm going to ask China also, I think the average person hears that and go, oh, I don't know. I guess maybe not so bad.
If he's.
You know, I think there's some truth to what he said, at least in how Trump gets away with some of this.
Well, I mean, look, the way that Trump gets away with stuff is true, but also dangerous for Trump, right? I mean, it as long as it's working, it's great for him. And, I mean, he's gone for it, so to speak, politically, again and again. Both during the presidential campaign and in its aftermath as president. He's done things that nobody else did that are unimaginable, and he's gotten away with it, right? I mean, at least to some extent.
Well, he's gotten away with a whole lot of stuff his whole life.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it's a lesson learned before politics. In fact, it may be that he plays politics in some ways more effectively because he doesn't come from politics. But,
and he's running America like he runs the Trump empire.
Or worse. But here's where it gets interesting. You learn habits. You learn behaviors, right? If something works for you, you keep doing it. And at that point, you stop thinking. You know, you just go by instinct. And I think that he has been confronted by a reality where going by instinct, you know, going big, doing, you know, the big pushback, not thinking as deeply as he should, has, at several stages now, gotten him in worse trouble, just in the last couple of weeks, right? Republicans in the Senate and House were stunned when they read the transcript that he released, right, or the supposed transcript that he released. Again and again, his big, bold moves have blown up with him. To give you an example, a key senator, Senator Sass from Nebraska, reacted to what Donald Trump said yesterday about asking the Chinese to...
Well, let's listen to that clip.
Mr. President, what exactly did you hope Zelensky would do about the Biden after your phone call? Exactly.
Well, I would think that if they were honest about it, they'd start a major investigation into the Bidens. It's a very simple answer. They should investigate the Bidens, because how does a company that's newly formed, and all these companies, if you look at, and by the way, likewise, China should start an investigation into the Bidens, because what happened in China is just about as bad as what happened with Ukraine. I haven't, but it's certainly something we can start thinking about.
So that right there.
The day before, he didn't want to answer that question and excoriated the AP reporter. Here, not only did he say it, but listen to the last part. He's essentially saying, maybe we'll make this contingent on the trade talks.
Right, dove right in.
Yeah, right.
And did exactly what he's accused of, right? You know, as came through with these texts that just were released the other day, where, you know, you literally have people saying, you know, it's insane to be, you know, making these connections here to you know, say that you're not going to help a country out in this way, or you're going to, you know, make a country do certain things for political purposes, right? And here he is once again, same zone. And to give you an example, I was referencing before Senator Ben Sasse. His response to this was, you know, maybe not that great an idea to, and I hope I'm quoting Sasse correctly, rely on the Chinese commies for the truth. You know, it's the there are even Republicans now who are pushing back on this, and my suspicion is that you're going to see a lot of pushback on the China thing for a variety of reasons.
Well, this is also in the context of the story that is being reported that in a conversation with Xi Jinping, he essentially said that he'd lay off what's going on, what the Chinese are doing with Hong Kong as part of the trade negotiations. Well, now there's a complete abrogation of his responsibilities as commander in chief.
Oh, it's you are correct. Of course, it is that, and it also goes to this much deeper set of issues, which is that the United States has, for a very long time, to a lesser extent, Great Britain, had a unique relationship with China. That relationship is certainly economic, right? And there's all sorts of trade and things like that. But, you know, there has, at our best, been a human rights overlay, at least some concern about human rights within China. That was certainly an issue with the most favored nation trading status in the old days. And even now, it is something that is very, very important for the U.S. to be on top of and to raise. And the suggestion that the President of the United States sent a signal or signaled to the Chinese, yeah, the U.S. isn't going to, you know, as long as you work with us on other stuff, the U.S. isn't going to, you know, send the red flag up or organize other countries to express concern at the very least about serious human rights violations or, you know, assaults on democracy or violence. But that's breaking a long historic pattern. It's, in my opinion, it's a terrible, terrible signal to send to any country, but especially because of the power dynamics of the U.S.-China relationship. That strikes me. I guess I'm not going to try and do hierarchies here, Ukraine versus China, but I'm going to tell you that he did a lot of bad. It appears Donald Trump did a lot of bad stuff with Ukraine for political purposes. We are now getting a suggestion that he did, I would go so far as to say, worse stuff with China, and this is a very big deal.
All right, so it's gut check time for the country. I think John Meacham made an interesting point this morning on Morning Joe.
A republic is the sum of its parts. Our dispositions of heart and mind, yours and mine, matter enormously because, let's be honest, politicians are far more often mirrors of who we are rather than molders. And Trump right now is mirroring what the 40, 45, 48% of folks who, for whatever reason, support him come what may. If a certain number of those people begin to look at this and realize that the President of the United States has, in fact, put our Constitution, put our electoral system on eBay, then perhaps they will begin to think, you know what, the system itself is worth more than this particular moment of absolutism. And I think that's absolutely essential. And this is we're now way beyond I think what even what Nixon was doing. I think we're in a zone where to go to Jim's point, if Republicans can read all of this, and by the way, you should then go back and read the transcript because this actually provides or the memo, the telecom, this actually provides context. You see absolutely that the President of the United States is running a political shakedown racket. And it's just, it's not even a partisan point at this point, at this juncture. No. Just look at the data, be driven by the data, and then make up your mind. That's what we were supposed to do in this country. We weren't supposed to just give a pass to somebody whose team we decided to be on.
Do the American people, in the tribalism in which we have right now, does the country have the moral character to end this presidency?
I think so. Yeah, I really do.
Now, you're not being Pollyannish on me.
No.
Did you agree with Meacham's point?
Very much. You know, and I like some of his phrasing, putting the foreign policy up on eBay. You know, I mean, Look, you do have to have the right phrases so people understand it, you know, so it's got clarity for folks. And does this country have the moral character to impeach Donald Trump? And then the deeper question, might that character rise to such an extent, show up in polls to such an extent, that it might even move our deplorable U.S. Senate? It's certainly...
Did you call the U.S. Senate deplorable?
Yeah, I think so. Don't you think? I mean, am I wrong?
Well, this is a perfect place to take a break, and then we'll come back with one of the members of the deplorable Senate and see what you think of her answer. You're listening to SlysOffice.com. John Nichols from the Capital Times and The Nation.
Hey, I want to welcome a new sponsor to SlysOffice.com. It's the attorneys at Gingras, Thompson, and Walks. Whether it be personal injury, civil rights, employment, family law, medical malpractice, Social Security disability, or workers' compensation, they have an attorney for you who will meet with you individually and give you the time you deserve. They have offices in Eau Claire, Madison, Milwaukee, and Waukesha. If you want to reach them, it's easy. GTWLawyers.com. That's GTWLawyers.com.
We're back at SlysOffice.com, brought to you by our friends at Madison Computer Works, also the folks at Jeff's Guitar Clinic, and some of the great labor unions in our area, Madison Teachers Incorporated, Madison Firefighters, Madison Teamsters Local 695, and the Operating Engineers. All right, so Joni Ernst, you know who she is? You remember her?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Very much.
Okay. Okay. So here is Joni Ernst at a town hall meeting in Iowa the other day.
Where is the line? When are you guys going to say enough? You still stand there silent, and your silence is supporting him and not standing up.
Okay. So, President Trump, I can say yay, nay, whatever. The president is going to say what the president is going to do.
What about whistleblower?
And I've already said that, too. Whistleblowers should be protected. I stand with Chuck Grassley on this. We have laws in place. Again, laws need to be enforced. I don't care where it is. I don't care who it is, when it is. Corruption is corruption, and it should be combated.
But it's okay for our president to escort other countries.
Okay, we're going to move on to another question, but what I would say is we can't determine that yet.
So you just saw what happened, right?
Okay, so we can't determine that yet. I think we can, John.
Oh, yeah. No, a moment ago, in the previous segment, we were talking a little bit about whether America's got the moral character to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, it's possible there might even be sufficient moral character and sufficient poll numbers reflecting that it would move the deplorable U.S. Senate. Is that going to move every U.S. senator? No.
Well, we know it's not going to remove Ron Johnson, because Senator Johnson yesterday said he had no problem with the president encouraging China to investigate Biden.
Yeah. And Ron Johnson also, the senator from Wisconsin, seems to be forgetting his past advocacy on some things regarding Ukraine. So it's like he is very good at standing on his high moral ground until his president gets in trouble, and then he scrambles down into the swamp.
He called Russ Feingold a swamp creature in 2016.
I don't think that was appropriate, but I do think that Ron Johnson is perhaps going to give us some illustration in that regard with his responses to the current crisis. But here's the deeper thing I would suggest to you. Somebody's written a lot about impeachment for a long time and looked at a lot of the history of it. It's important to understand that in July of 1974, well into July of 1974, you did not have a majority of people who were saying that Nixon should be removed, right? So impeachment was a process. It was moving along. More information was coming out. But you had a lot of information even then. And while there was support for the impeachment process, and even support for impeachment itself, take taking that final step, the removal, was not it was not fully developed even weeks before Nixon himself resigned. What I will tell you is that this thing moves quickly once it gets going, and it has a it does force people to kind of make judgments, to make conclusions, and I think that folks who try to run political analyses of where this thing ends up, you know, where the Senate ends up or where the political play out of it, at this point are making a mistake, because I think that this is gathering steam, and we don't know how much steam it will gather.
All right. So that's so this is a perfect lead-in for my next clip. This is Jim Vandehei, of course, who's a Wisconsin native. He's with Axios now. Here's what he said this morning.
The president has used the machinery and the manpower of the federal government to ask foreign adversaries to investigate his chief political rival. Remember, Biden's leading in the polls, and most people assume at this moment he has a better than decent chance of becoming the Democratic nominee. Unprecedented in history, and to most Democrats, I'd say every Democrat in elected office right now, it seems that that's an impeachable offense. It now appears inevitable, I would say virtually certain, that Donald Trump will be impeached by the House of Representatives in November or December, probably on a party line vote, sending this over to the Senate, which will then have to decide whether or not they remove him from office. And it's very important. You talked about Shep Smith and what he said is real on Fox News, and it's true that Chris Wallace has done some of the same. But most of what's happening in conservative media is basically defending Trump and doubling down on the Trump strategy. And the Trump strategy overnight is now clear. He's saying, listen, I have the absolute power as the head of this nation to tell other nations, whether they're totalitarian, communist, whatever, that they can interfere in our politics, they can investigate a political rival, and he's going to send a letter to Pelosi as soon as today saying, impeach me. I dare you. I'm not going to help you until you start the actual inquiry. Because now he's betting he's going to be impeached anyways, and he's betting on the red wall in the Senate. He knows there's 51 Republican senators sitting over there in states where he has a favorable rating, and he knows what's happening in conservative media, and he knows how successful his strategy of fogging things up can be. And as long as he has 34 senators that will protect him, that will vote for him, that will never vote to remove him from office, he can do whatever he wants. That's the way.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. Tell it to Andrew Johnson. You know, with all due respect.
Andrew Johnson didn't have Twitter.
Andrew Johnson didn't have Twitter, but Andrew Johnson also did not get removed from office, right? And yet, somehow, he didn't remain in office after the next election.
He didn't run.
He gave up. Yeah. And, frankly, I'm not sure that history's been all that kind to him.
I've been to his house, interestingly enough. I took a tour of his house.
That's very... That's going deep, is all I can tell you. I've been to Martin Van Buren's house.
I've been to the Dan Quayle Vice Presidential Museum.
I want you to go back with me on a road trip.
Okay.
With that said,
we'll listen to Kiss, the solo artist, as we go through Illinois. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. But with that excellent reference to Kiss, let me just say that what you got there was that's a very good kind of inside DC assessment of the thing, right?
That's what Jim specializes in.
Well, what I keep trying to tell people is that impeachment is different. You have to understand it differently. The key act is the impeachment itself, when the House does it, right? Then you do go to the Senate. That puts immense pressure on the Senate, and you see what happens there. A Senate can rise or it can fall. And in these times, with the information that's coming out, my sense is the pressure on the Senate will be far greater to act. I think Jim is right. When the chance you're going to get you're going to get 67 votes, right? That you're really going to get there. It's very high bar. It was intended to be a high bar by the founders, right? But there are two ways to deal with an impeached president, right? One is to the Senate removes that person from office. Two, it is, you know, the next steps, the political side of it, the electoral side of it. And if Donald Trump is not removed by the Senate, he will become the first president in American history to seek re-election as an impeached president.
Mm-hmm.
You got to underline that.
Right.
Recognize that. We've never been down this road before. That will define a lot of 2020. It doesn't go away. You know, it doesn't stop. And if the Democrats are smart about how they communicate about this, they will not pay attention to the president right now except to, you know, take notes on the, you know, impeachable things he says on a regular basis. Congresswoman Rashida Tlaib from Michigan had a great line. She put an arrow to one of Trump's tweets and said, "You have a right to remain silent." And, you know, it's like...
I got to tell you.
Yeah.
I don't think she's helping. I don't think she's...
That was a good line. That was witty.
I don't like her. I don't even like hearing about her.
She got up a great witty line.
Yeah, she's also selling in Trump, impeach Trump T-shirts with an MF. I'm sorry. That hurts the people that we need to stay strong.
You're getting off track here.
Okay. Oh, no. Oh, no. I'll never let that one go.
All right.
It's my podcast. There is no such thing as
humor.
There's no such thing as me getting off track on my podcast.
That's right. I went with you on kids.
I don't really like her.
I'm getting a sense of that. So let's take it. Just kind of deviate back into what I was trying to say. the Democrats need to be calm about what Trump says and does, right? They can't get freaked out by that. And that's a big deal politically, because they have to kind of, you know, make this record of what's done. They have to talk about it. They have to learn how to talk about it. And then they impeach it. What the Senate does is what the Senate does. But then you don't stop talking about that record, right? You don't say, oh, well, that's all done. That's what Trump will say to do. But the Democrats don't have to do that. They can go into the 2020 election cycle and say, we proved this guy was corrupt. We sought to hold him to account. He got off because his partisan allies let him off. And so now, America, you have a choice. You want to keep a corrupt president and the people who will not check and balance him? Or do you want to elect a new president and people who will actually try to govern in the public interest?
So I should have played this at the beginning of the podcast, but this is last night on Brian Williams' show. Former Ambassador Michael McFaul, he, of course, was the ambassador to Russia in the Obama administration, obviously teaches at Stanford now. Great guy. Listen, he's reading the text, right, that came out yesterday between the deep state. You always talk about the deep state? Well, the Trump deep state was in all its glory in these texts.
Scrolling through it, but we have a lot of information now that was just released about texts between Ambassador Volker, between our EU ambassador. Goodness knows why he is involved in any of this, by the way. And it is not just this phone call. We now know that they were prepping the phone call, and the quid pro quo is clear as day in these texts. The quid pro quo is, not only do you need to open an investigation, Mr. Zelensky, but you need to put it on the record that you are going to do this investigation. Oh, and you need to also put it on the record that you are going to expose what Ukraine did in interfering in the 2016 elections. Extraordinary stuff that just dropped a few minutes ago. But it shows that it's a much bigger story. It wasn't just an off-the-cuff remark that the president, as he sometimes does, as you and I know, this was all calculated. And then the next day, we have a delegation there. Mr. Volker himself is in Ukraine to try to follow up on what the president said in that call.
To your point just then.
It was really it was a remarkable moment. And he was stunned. He's seen a lot of horrible things. What's going to happen with all these other players involved here? I know a lot of people went to prison during the Nixon scandal.
Oh, yeah.
How are we going to hold all these other people accountable in addition to the president?
It's probably not going to. They're probably not going to be held too much to account by the Trump Department of Justice.
They're involved. You're right.
Yeah, exactly. And so, two important things to understand there. One, you are correct. There are a lot of other people involved now. And, you know, we're getting to, you know, all kinds of appointees, all kinds of, you know, presidential aides. We are beginning to get into that zone where we refer to a conspiracy so immense, right? Because this appears to have been the president's obsession, that he was, you know, kind of pushing everybody to get engaged with this thing. And weirdly enough, that does take us back to a Nixonian comparison, that Nixon was bizarrely obsessed with the 1972 election that he was going to win, right? That you know, all indications were he was doing very, very well in from a very, very early moment. And so that...
Well, destroying Muskie didn't hurt.
No, I mean, well, there's a lot of things he did during the whole process. But, you know, it might not have been necessary to break into the DNC at a point where it was pretty clear George McGovern was going to be the nominee. And even Nixon even obsessed about McGovern. And so the president is the center of these things. Your first step is always to hold that president to account. In the process, other people will be in that president's orbit. The key thing is the accountability for the president. That's it. That's essential work for the Republic. In the process, others can be held to account. It is possible that people can be charged criminally and in other ways with wrongdoing. It is also notable that impeachment is not just for presidents anymore.
Well, here's a little clip. This is the vice president.
It's entirely in my meeting with President Zelensky of Ukraine on the issues that President Trump had raised as a concern, namely the lack of support from European partners for Ukraine and real issues of corruption in Ukraine. But the simple truth is that those are the same issues that the president raised with President Zelensky in their call. Anyone that looks at the president's transcript will see that the president was raising issues that were appropriate, that were of genuine interest to the American people.
That is Vice President.
Interesting. This administration has been so concerned about corruption in Saudi Arabia, the Philippines, China, North Korea. They've been just stellar at putting anti-corruption efforts into place, haven't they?
Yeah, it's really, you know, I think it's fairly can be described as the central focus of the administration. At least something involved with corruption. Right? You know, and maybe you may have misphrased it.
No, I was just being sarcastic, just like Adam Schiff.
Maybe he should be. Yeah.
Yeah.
But the bottom line on this, and it really does go to one of the challenges of the moment that we are now in. There is so much coming, and it is so amazing. It is so overwhelming. It is jaw-dropping stuff. It's amazing that it has kind of broken through sort of the cynicism about Trump and whether you could possibly hold the guy to account. You know, now people are really saying, well, hold it, this is real, you know. And what we need to do in this point is keep very focused on a core set of concerns. Lock them in, prove them, which, by the way, it's not very hard anymore. And then take those concerns to the Congress. You know, I heard before this conversation about that Trump now wants to be impeached. Great. That's fine. Good. Don't do it on his timeline. Do it on a timeline that gets the charges correct, that gets the articles of impeachment in place. And my dog is agreeing with
me. He concurs.
As we speak, he's saying each one of these. But make sure it's correct. Get the articles of impeachment in place. Get them passed. Get them over to the Senate. Again, not on Trump's timeline, but on a timeline that is appropriate. But don't take forever to do it, and don't make it too complex, right? One of the dangers now is that so much is coming out that you could extend this inquiry, you know, for a very long time simply because the information keeps piling up. And what I would suggest is, that's not how impeachment is supposed to work. Impeachment is about protecting the office of the presidency from those who would abuse it. If you have massive evidence of abuse, you know, you don't have to say, well, let's keep this thing going until we find everything, right? Because with all due respect with Richard Nixon, they'd still be investigating
him. They sure would. John Nichols from the Capital Times and The Nation, thanks for coming to SliceOffice.com.
What a pleasure, brother.
SliceOffice.com.
Thanks a million.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, absolutely. Anytime. Thank you, Sly.